Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. It is the 7th of August, 2024. Good morning, I'm Andy Eubank, the Hat Podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com and your local branch to talk about your ag operation today. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller have the news, including more from the Indiana State Fair, including some of the Grand Drive winners, and catching up with the State Fair Queen. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says Indiana weather is going to turn really dry. And Tuesday corn and bean markets worked lower. We'll have settlements and market analysis from Arlen Suderman on the Hat Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Big winners at the Grand Drive and more from the Indiana State Fair. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Sunday night was a big night for this young lady from Randolph County at the Grand Drive presented by Farm Credit Mid-America.
My name is Hadley Hendrickson. I'm from Farmland, Indiana. I'm an 8th year 4-H member, and I just won Supreme Champion Heifer, Reserve Champion Heifer, and 4th overall Heifer.
Hendrickson is no stranger to showing on the dirt inside the Coliseum at the Indiana State Fair.
In 2018, I won the Grand Champion Steer and the Grand Champion Barrow, and I won the Grand Champion Gilt in 2019, and also in 2021, I won the Grand Champion Gilt.
Hendrickson says she loves showing at the State Fair. Her secret to success?
To get here, everyone would say that you need a good feeder, or you need money, or the right supplies. It really takes four things. You need the passion to be able to work hard. You need work ethic. You need the family and the team that support you no matter what. And most of all, you need God, because He is the most important thing in this earth. And He is needs to be your center of your focus, and your barn, and with your family, and everywhere. And we need to focus on that as an industry. Whether you win or lose, you need to go out and think, this was God's plan for me today.
Be sure to visit our website, HoosierAgToday.com, or our Facebook page to see the video with interviews with all the winners from the Grand Drive. Those other winners include Kennedy Rodeball from Jasper County with her Grand Champion Market Barrow, Zach Tressler from Rush County with his Grand Champion Market Lamb, Piper Unger from Sullivan County with her Grand Champion Meat Goat Weather, Colton Kephart from Clinton County with his Grand Champion Meat Goat Weather Dam, and Remington Brumball from DeKalb County with his Grand Champion Beef Steer.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
More now from the Indiana State Fair. CJ Miller's hanging out with royalty.
There is something for everybody here. This fair is massive. There's stuff that you guys have never even heard about here.
And that's Indiana State Fair Queen Alexis Standish of Newton County. She's also a huge basketball fan and played varsity basketball at South Newton High School. which is why it's no surprise when she says she's looking forward to shooting hoops at the brand new permanent basketball court just inside Gate 12 at the fairgrounds.
Oh, you already know it. I have my basketball shoes and my shorts in my car as we speak. I've been looking forward to seeing this basketball court because I've been talking about it all summer, but I haven't been able to see it yet. So I'm really excited to get over there and check it out and see where I'm going to be hooping this summer.
Alexis also told me when she was crowned Miss Indiana State Fair back in early January, the one thing she was looking forward to most at this year's state fair was the food. Especially the pickle pizza.
That still hasn't changed. I'm going to see if I can fit some room for some pizza in here a little bit later on.
Even if you're not a fan of basketball or pickle pizza, Alexis says the Indiana State Fair has something for everyone.
And I encourage you to get out here, explore the fair, explore all the buildings, and see if you like something that you haven't seen before. There's just something for everybody. I really do encourage everybody to get out here and try something new.
You can hear my full conversation with Miss Indiana State Fair Alexis Standish at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
The Midwest Weed Control Field Day is coming to Purdue's Miggs Horticulture Research Farm on Wednesday, September 11th in Lafayette, Indiana. Hear from experts on weeding tools of all scales, watch field demos, and make connections with other farmers, companies, and suppliers. For more information about the Midwest Mechanical Weed Control Field Day, call Crystal at 217-840-2128 or visit online and search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org for the Midwest Weed Control Field Day.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications, made with the best steel, such as Hardox or Strengths wear plate. Eile's steel wear part liners are easy to install and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit at a cost less than OEM replacement parts. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We're settling into a dry forecast window here across the Hoosier State. Moisture has pushed away. We are seeing a slight pullback in humidity values today and a slight pullback in temperature values. I will say right now, do not get used to that. We're going to warm up significantly as we move through the end of the week and weekend. Humidity values will climb as well. But here for today, pretty doggone nice. And tomorrow, not too shabby either. The humidity starts to come back over the weekend. Temperatures climbing starting Friday morning to midday. Next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, quite warm, quite humid. But notice I'm not talking any precipitation just yet. I think next Tuesday we see some shower and thunderstorm activity trying to push into southwest Indiana, and we can see rain totals of a quarter to 1.5 inches with thunderstorms potentially being strong. Same deal on Wednesday, maybe a few hit and miss showers or thunderstorms in southwest Indiana, but there's nothing over the course of the remaining 10 days that pushed any moisture into the entire state with any regularity. As a matter of fact, it may be the end of next weekend and into the week following, so later the 17th or 18th into the week following where we see moisture come together. The plains is getting a little bit more active, but we have to push that this direction. The other story that we have to watch is temperatures. I think there's a huge dome of heat in the central and southern plains that wants to expand our direction toward midweek next week. I think we have the potential to see the hottest air of the season so far in at midweek next week. If everything goes the way we're showing right now, we can easily keep a lid on that if a high pressure dome wants to set up over the Great Lakes, but currently, it looks like that may be a little difficult. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Get ready for a dry stretch I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
In Indiana, the Lieutenant Governor is also the State Secretary of Agriculture. This means the new Lieutenant Governor that we will elect this November will have a big impact on your farming operation and on the state's agriculture. The three candidates vying for this position will participate in a live debate on agriculture August 13th at 3 p.m. at the Indiana State Fair. Hoosier Ag Today will live stream this debate on our website, mobile app, YouTube channel, and Facebook page. Get all the details at HoosierAgToday.com.
Sharp losses in soybean futures. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. More volatility everywhere you look. We'll have settlements from the grains and oilseeds coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. And for that, I checked in with Arlen Suderman of StoneX at the end of trade. Arlen, what an interesting week, especially when you take into account the Monday and Tuesday major moves in the equities here in the U.S. and really around the world. The ag markets, you'd have to say on Monday they held in pretty well despite that outside pressure. What do you make of a significant sell-off here on Tuesday in the soybean market? We'll start there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that did not go unnoticed by a lot of farmers who still owned corn and soybeans that knew they needed to get the bins emptied out before this upcoming big harvest. We saw a lot of corn and soybeans move, which caught up to the market then on Tuesday. And then add to that the fact that we had a break in the Brazilian real in value on Monday, which encouraged a lot of Brazilian farmer selling as well. So when you get those bushels moving onto the market, that's going to put some pressure on. But overall, this market held well. We've held recent lows. This market is still in kind of trying to do a bottoming action, seeing if we can find some stability here ahead of the August 12th crop report.
Talk about the wheat market and also its relationship right now with corn. It appeared early on that wheat was pretty solid and maybe help pull corn higher, but that didn't hold up as wheat fell off the highs. Corn went back to even and below even. So talk about the wheat market first and then the relationship with corn.
Yeah, as we look at the wheat market, we are seeing some bottoming action there, particularly in the Black Sea cash prices. Black Sea cash prices really set the tone for the world market. And we saw some orders pick up, some demand pick up for Russian exporters, but they didn't have the bushels because the farmers there were not happy with the prices, were not selling. So exporters started pushing their bids to try to free up some wheat. That helped stabilize world wheat markets. Here in the United States, we've come down so far that we are now more competitive than Black Sea wheat into many markets right now. And so that's helping find some stability here as well. Now, gains are limited by the fact that we have a much bigger crop than what was anticipated, and we do have big supplies, but at least we're starting to see some stability in end user buying. As you said, that did provide some support for the corn market early on, but we're also seeing quite a bit of farmer movement of corn now as well, trying to empty the bins ahead of the approaching harvest.
On this particular day, what's the role of the dollar index, which is up, but as we've talked about, wheat able to move higher anyway?
Yeah, wheat is typically the more sensitive of the three major crops when it comes to the dollar. So the fact that wheat was able to show some green on the screen today, even with a stronger dollar, I think says something. Overall, the dollar has been caught up in the middle of this big carry trade unwind with the Japanese yen. That really is a big part of triggering the big sell-off in U.S. stocks. And so that's why we've seen it break sharply lower. did bounce a little bit today. But overall, longer term, if we can, because of the chart damage to the dollar, see more weakness in the dollar, longer term, that should help us in the commodity space.
I would like to ask you to comment a little bit on the stock market, specifically here in the U.S. Major sell-off on Monday, a nice rebound on Tuesday, not getting back all of what was lost. Tell us what we need to know about that in a snapshot.
Well, it was largely reported that the sell-off was created by the market not being happy with the Fed, thinking too little, too late, and then the jobs report on Friday. But the Fed really gave the market what it wanted on Wednesday. And the jobs report we got on Friday, while showing a softening jobs market, was by no means a recessionary jobs report, as was also stated by Austin Goolsbee, who is probably one of the more dovish members of the Federal Open Market Committee. So what did cause it? You go back to last Wednesday, I wrote in my commentary to our customers that Japan's central bank, the Bank of Japan, had surprised the market by raising interest rates by the largest amount in the last 15 years. That pushed interest rates, their benchmark rate, into positive territory for the first time in 8 years. They said more rate hikes are likely coming this year, plus they were decreasing their quantitative easing, which means buying debt certificates. That works toward raising interest rates in the mid and longer end of the yield curve as well. So all that means is that Japanese money wanted to come home. And when Japanese money comes home, that has a big impact on the U.S. markets. They had been borrowing at those negative interest rates against the yen to buy U.S. dollars for years in order to participate in our equity market and our treasury market. And so when they started unwinding that, that withdrew a lot of money from our equity markets, causing the downturn in our stock market. The computers then kicked in with more sell orders, panic ensued, more selling. But overall, that seems to have been the original cause of it. Now we're starting to find some stability. There's a lot of carry trades yet to be unwound, so there may be more volatility yet ahead. But it seems to, at this point anyway, be on a little more orderly fashion that it's occurring.
Arlen Suderman, StoneX.com. Now, Tuesday settlements, corn did end lower. September down 2 cents, 388 and three quarters. Dees 405 and a quarter, down a penny and three quarters. And double-digit losses in the soybean market. September 1014, down 17 and a half cents. November 1026 and three quarters, a loss of 14 cents. September wheat, 543 and a quarter, picking up 3 3/4. Relatively quiet in the meat markets. October live cattle, 179.05, up a nickel. And October lean hogs, 76.40, up 67 cents. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.